Welcome to another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we got Brawley. How's it going, man?
I'm doing, I could be doing better, I guess, after that shit of a performance, but, you know, it is what it is now. How are you?
Oh, I agree with you. It's a little tough to do these podcasts off after a loss, but we can't be fair weather fans. We got to get it done. So I think we'll have an interesting podcast coming up for our listeners today, my man. We got after our Everton loss, we do at least still have some Q&A, and I'm still excited. The Philadelphia Union won their playoff match against the New York Red Bulls in extra time yesterday. So I'm at least trying to use that as my positive motivator to give everybody some energy today.
Yeah, and you ended up actually going to the game last night, right?
I did. I drove 2 hours to go to my local MLS team to see the Philadelphia Union play in the first round single elimination playoffs, and they beat the Red Bull, and our friend of the podcast, Bradley, flew up from New Orleans, so shout out to Brad. We got to meet for the first time, and he is a Union fan from the area. And we got to meet for the first time, and it was really cool. So had a few beers, got to enjoy a Union win. It was all around great day, better than Saturday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, didn't take much to beat Saturday. What did you end up doing for the Everton game? Where did you watch at?
For the Everton game, I ended up laying in bed and watched it. Since, again, folks, I'm in Harrisburg, so we don't really have any pubs open at 7:30. So I laid in bed for that, and then I got up and watched game day, college game day, for any of our NCAA football folks. Penn State, big win for us last night. Saturday night. So that was great, too. So I had an up-and-down sports weekend. Eagles got trashed last night by the Cowboys, so it was a little rough for me around the edges with West Ham and the Eagles, but a big Penn State and Union win, so I guess I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, so I ended up getting up at 4:45 a.m. to drive down to the pub in St. Louis, and it seemed like every time I make the effort to drive down there, they always lose. I can't remember the last game we won when I actually went down to the Amsterdam. So it's really, really frustrating to get up that early and then just have the team serve up that performance. I was as angry as I have been in a long time after defeat after that game. I don't know about you, but I was absolutely livid.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're in the group chat, you were less than pleased at the performance. But and I think that's the annoying thing about it is we've said on the podcast plenty of times that we can take a loss. And if we play well and actually try and we just get beat and it happens, that's fine. I can do that. I'm cool with that. But my main issue comes into play when I have to put all this effort into watching the team or doing a podcast or going there. You know, we have American supporters who go over all the time, or just even the people in England who have to take the train at 5 a.m. to get up to Liverpool for a 12:30 kickoff, right? They put in all this effort to go up and down the country. We put in all this effort to get up and go down to the pub, all this effort to pay for this and that to go watch this team. And they couldn't even muster any effort yesterday. I question all of their effort on Saturday. I normally am not that guy because, you know, they're professional athletes and they say they're trying, but that was atrocious. I'm pretty pissed off right now. Now I'm all wound up. I was having a good Monday at work and now I'm angry. So it was a despicable performance.
Well, just like put it in the context, like, okay, Everton are 18th in the table going into this game, I think, and we're sitting okay up in seventh or eighth spot, and so they're desperate. We're not really. I mean, you could see this kind of game coming where, you know, Everton are going to come out to play. It's after the international break. They didn't have a lot of people out on international duty. You know, it's like this performance from Everton was coming, and they played. I didn't think they played superb, but they should have beaten us by 5 or 6, probably. I mean, 2-2 flattered us. 2-0 flattered us massively, and we almost, at the end of the game, before Sigurdsson scored that wonder goal, we almost scored. Pickford. Yeah. So, I mean, this performance from Everton was not surprising. Shouldn't have been surprising to anyone, but it looked like the team were shocked at how they were coming at us over and over and over and over again. And we had nothing. We offered nothing, like nothing the entire game.
It's crazy. There was no connection between any point of anybody on the field, between the defense and the midfield, between the midfield and the forwards. We had absolutely zero connection whatsoever. There was no flow. There was nothing. It was the deadest performance I've ever seen. Or feels like it.
It reminded me of Burnley and Bournemouth and Cardiff away last season. Is exactly what it reminded me of, where we had no business even showing up on the day. And I don't understand. So I guess let's first go through the starting 11. Let's get into the game quickly. Did you have any issues with the first 11?
I wouldn't say issues. You know what? I do want to get in one more thing surrounding the game before we get into the lineup. It's astounding that we had another opportunity, because I know we're going to get into this at the end when we talk about the result. But I do want to point out, before the game, on 12 points, we had a chance to go with 15 points with a big win against a struggling Everton side. And in hindsight, that would have taken us fifth. 2 weeks ago against Palace, we had a chance to go third. Went up 1-0 and then went flat. So I know that's why you play the game, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, like the Palace game, I could tolerate us losing. Like we actually played okay in that game, I thought. And it was just a fluky penalty and a fluky second goal that they scored. And I didn't leave that game, like watching that game, super infuriated like I did after the Everton performance. Like I can handle losing a game, like you said earlier. The Palace game, I had no issue with us losing. Like, yeah, it was frustrating. We could have gone third, and yeah, like it would have been great. But they ground out a result like they did away from home. It's annoying, but you know, I can handle that. But to not even like show up, to not even put forward your best, like it didn't seem like it was their best effort on the day, and you start to question a lot of people, like people calling out specific players for not caring and yada yada yada, and it's like. That performance that they put forward on Saturday was inexcusable, and it's infuriating to me, and I haven't been that mad in a long time.
And I want to clarify my point about them not caring. I think they do care. I think they didn't show that they cared. Is that a fair assessment? I think they do care. I think they want to do well, and they want to do well for either themselves to get more money or the fans, or just pride in doing a good job, whatever it is. I think they do care. I just don't think they showed it at all on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's probably fair. Okay. And Pellegrini should take a fair bit of the criticism as well, but we can get into that later.
Absolutely. Right, so now we're going to go into the lineup real quick, because I did jump the gun earlier when you wanted to talk about it. I was still angry, still am. But we'll go through it real quick. Alaire was up top with Anderson, Lanzini, Noble, Fornals, and Rice in the middle. Back line of Masuaku, Agbana, Diop, and Fredericks, and our boy Roberto in the middle. So I guess what we should start with is, were you surprised to see Yarmolenko not in there? I did see that he played both games for Ukraine, so I'm assuming that's what it was.
Well, I was more concerned to see Masuaku back in the lineup. I guess Creswell picked up a little bit of a groin injury, and I almost forgot that Fabianski was injured. When I saw the lineup, I was like, oh, God, Roberto's still playing right now. And Fornals in for Yarmolenko surprised me, yeah, a little bit, but I've been wanting to see Fornals, so I wasn't, like, upset when I saw the lineup at all. But, you know, it's time for Fornals to kind of piss or get off the pot, and it's becoming more and more concerning, the performances that he's putting in. So I didn't really have that much issue with the starting 11, and the biggest surprising thing was not seeing Yarmolenko, like you said. So yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I didn't even know Creswell was injured. So mm-hmm. that's a bit frustrating. That was a bit frustrating for me to see the lineup. And I will tell you what, I am not like I'm for keeping Pellegrini. I got a little wound up on Saturday afternoon when I saw some people calling for Pellegrini to get fired. I think he needs to be questioned, but you can question somebody without firing them easily. You can say, yeah. "Hey, yo, what were you doing? What was up with that lineup?" I mean, that lineup this weekend had absolutely there was zero width. The only thing that was stretching the defense was Anderson. I think that's what I like about when Yarmolenko and Anderson are both out wide. It stretches the defense and gives room for Allaire. Allaire had no room to work with by himself up there. Nanzini and Fornells had trouble passing the ball. Anderson couldn't really do much with his feet. I haven't seen that passion taking people on like he used to. I just thought the lineup was a mess. I don't know what else you would do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's not a whole lot more you can do apart from Yarmolenko in for Fornals. I mean, I didn't have any issue with the team that was selected. My issue is now becoming, why can't we get these guys motivated for these games? Every single 50-50 that was in that game, every 50-50 duel was won by Everton. They wanted it way more than we did. Why do we not want to win these games? Why do we not just want to go for it? And I understand they're going to be the home team. They're going to press you. You have to sit back and you have to let them come at you for a little bit. I understand that. But why can we not weather the storm and then come at them? Weather them down a little bit and then just come at them hard. I mean, we had no interest at doing anything in that game at any point. The passing was horrendous. Lanzini, non-existent, 100% non-existent. Anderson was the only guy in that game when he has the ball at his feet, you feel like he can make something happen. And sure, he gave the ball away quite a few times, and sure, maybe he looked disinterested, but you couldn't tell me there was one player on that pitch that looked like they were giving 110% besides Mark Noble and Declan Rice. Those two I will never, ever question for the most part. But everyone else looked like they could give a shit less. And I just – go ahead.
I just wanted to point out one other person there who surprised me more than anything. Although the goal was terrible positioning, the first one by Roberto – I mean, you shouldn't get beat near post like that at that angle. Just no way. But I'll tell you what, he also did make a lot of big saves that, I mean, he got peppered all game. And he kept it 1-0. I think a lot of the shots were fairly easy to save. But they still needed saved, and he did it. So I will give him credit with Declan Rice and Noble, like you said. I think Roberto definitely deserved a little credit, other than obviously the goal being his fault. But They shouldn't have even gotten that position to have an easy shot inside the six from that acute angle anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he actually did have a really good game. And I think I read a stat from the Premier League that said, let me find the stats here. I'm sorry. Terrible.
While you're searching for that, I do want to point out that that's I did take the piss out of him, and I did crack a joke about him being the man of the match when he first came in, as in like, oh dear, what are we doing? But I think he's stepped up. I don't think he's Fabianski. I think Fabianski makes that save in the first half, that they go up 1-0. But at the same time, I still think for being the backup goalkeeper and needing to fill those shoes, I thought he did very well yesterday. I will give him that credit. And then Sigurdsson's goal was an absolute screamer into the top corner. I mean, that was beautiful.
I have it here. So his 9 saves that he made against Everton were the most of any goalkeeper in the Premier League this season. So it shows he actually did have a really good game. He doesn't make it look necessarily easy. He doesn't make it look fluid, but he stopped the ones that he needed to stop, apart from the one that went in from Bernard. I couldn't believe, and my other issue with Pellegrini is his substitutions. So a lot of people were calling for Anderson to come off at halftime, but my thinking is, why on earth would you take away the only player that is capable of creating something? I am sorry, Lanzini's not doing it for me right now. He's just not. I don't see the same player that I saw 5 years ago. I've questioned him for a while now. I do not think that he is going to be a creative midfielder anymore. He's a good finisher. When he gets the ball in and around the area, he can finish it, but he can't take defenders on, and he can't dribble past guys, and his passing has been subpar. Now, Anderson at least has the ability to glide past defenders and make something happen out of nothing, and I got criticized. I put out a tweet saying I can't believe Anderson was taken off at halftime, and people are coming at me saying that it was the right move. He doesn't care. He's been shit. He is shit. He's overrated. And I just, like, I don't get it. He's the only one that's going to be able to create anything. Fornals and Lanzini cannot do it right now. So why would you take him off at halftime?
I'm going to have to agree with you, and of course I do. But one of the things that annoys me about the Anderson thing, let's talk about Lanzini, okay? Because that's what your first criticism was.
Yeah.
The problem with Lanzini is he is not the creator. He is not the best player on the field. He needs to be. If he's going to be in that center mid spot, that attacking mid, that guy, the creator, the piece, the key to the puzzle, whatever, the key to the lock, whatever you want to say, he needs to step up. But I said this a few weeks ago, and I said this on Twitter and got slated for it, but it's true. He benefited so well off of Dimitri Payet. Because Dimitri Payet opened so much space for Lanzini, the Payet pulled two or three guys with him almost every time he touched the ball. Lanzini had days, hours to operate. But the thing is, he doesn't have that guy with him. So when we're talking about Anderson, if Anderson's having a poor game, Lanzini pairs with it. Lanzini pairs with him because he doesn't have any space. But when Anderson's on fire and taking guys on and blowing past guys, that opens up space for so many other players. So then, back to your point about Anderson and taking him off, that didn't make any sense to me. Yeah, does he look complacent? Absolutely. Is he off his game? Absolutely. I agree with both of those assumptions or opinions. But at the same time, he's our best player. And you need him on the field. You need him on the field. And then when you replace him for Yarmolenko, there's no pace. There was literally no pace in that side whatsoever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody to stretch that team. Nobody to chase around their fast guys like Walcott, Keane when he came on. Their outside backs are extremely fast. Iwobi, all those guys. They're so fast. Richarlison's fast as well. Mm-hmm. So you literally took all the pace out of the game. We had no counter. You had no width. The midfielders, when you have no width, you got to pass around and play tiki-taka. None of them could complete a pass. I mean, it was just a struggle bus. I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah. I think Pellegrini's substitutions and tactics have got to start to come into question. And we're paying Pellegrini a lot of money, and I think questions should start to be asked of him. I mean, games like that. Now, I am not in the Pellegrini out camp. I think it's way, way too early. But I do think this game will be games like this will define our season. You know, against Brighton, Villa, Everton, and there's another team. Who else have we lost to? Oh, Man City, but that doesn't really count. So against Brighton, Villa, and Everton this season, we've taken a combined 2 points. And I think that shows more than the 6 points we've taken against Man United and Norwich. I think that shows more. I think it's going to tell you a lot more about our season than those two games do.
But here's the thing, though. In all three games, we look lackluster until getting punched in the face and then either continued or stepped it up. The Brighton game, we looked poor all game. I thought we were lucky to get a point there. I was at that one. The Villa game, we played better after going down a man. Everton yesterday, we didn't even show up. We didn't even get off the bus. So all three of those games were points that we could have taken, man. I strongly believe that we are better than all three of those teams. I don't care if I'm being a homer. I don't care if I'm being claret and blue eye glasses. I genuinely think that we are even with Everton and better than Villa and Brighton. And those two, were a massive letdown. Everton, we shouldn't have let them bully us around, and we may be even with them. It's embarrassing.
It's just getting to the point where if Pellegrini can't hammer home that we need a big team mentality and we need to be winning these games, we're going to be another bang average team, 8th to 10th. That's all it's going to be. 8th would probably be good. But I am less and less and less and less optimistic about the finish of the season. That top six chance is there. Man United are shit. They're terrible. I mean, I'd actually, funny enough, I picked Man United to beat Liverpool because in derby games, everything goes out the window. Literally everything goes out the window. It doesn't matter where you are on the table, everything goes out the window. So I was not surprised to see them get a 1-1 result, but Man United are not a good team right now. And I think Chelsea have been looking better, but still, I think there will be at least one top six place up for grabs this season, and no longer are we in that discussion until proven otherwise.
I'm okay
with
it.
It's not going to happen.
I'm okay with being a bang average club. That's what I started following, 9 years ago, 10 years ago. That's fine with me. But stop moaning. I mean, stop setting these expectations extremely high and stop hyping everybody up. Or maybe it's self-hype ourselves, probably, as well.
It's some of that by the fans.
It's a combination of both. But we need to get. We either need to step the fuck up or get realistic. It's fine either way, but it's got to be one or the other, because we are not succeeding as a club right now. If we're on about, oh, we're sixth, fifth, fourth, big club, blah, blah, bullshit, all right, then we need to step up. But that's not what's happening. And then the other thing about Pellegrini is, again, I just want to say, just use the same phrase one more time, you can question without firing somebody. That's just was a wind-up all weekend for me, people saying that they should fire him. I'm definitely questioning him, too. Yo, like, come on, man. How many times in the last 2 years have we come out lackluster for big games against shit teams? Not big games against big teams. Big teams against teams that we should beat. It's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if we do the bare minimum, we should beat them. No, you got to bury these dickheads.
Yeah, and Everton's not – I mean, I don't think Everton are going to be down – at the end of the table for much longer. I think they will pull themselves out of it, and they will be punching right above where we're at. I mean, we should be on par with them. So I don't consider that. It still amazes me that we weren't up for the game, but I just don't understand why we can't motivate ourselves and just come out to play from minute one. And Pellegrini hasn't installed this Man City mentality in them where, like, okay, that's what I was thinking he was going to do. He's a winner. He's a proven winner. He wins trophies everywhere he goes. Why can he not get home to these guys that we should be beating these average sides? I just don't get it.
The worst part about
that's my issue.
The worst part about this whole situation is we're still 2 points off seventh. No, sorry, we're tied for seventh. On 12 points. We're 2 points off six and a win off of fifth. We're still in it. We're way off. We're just not playing like we want it.
The table the table's not even relevant 7 or 8 games into the season.
Nine,
like,
but I agree.
The position of the table means nothing in the grand scheme of things. I don't care until the end of the season. So, like, yeah, we could have gone third last week, but that really means nothing in the grand scheme of things. With 6, 7, 8 games in the season, you're third. Okay, Lottie frickin' die. It doesn't mean anything at all until you start getting down to that Christmas time. Like, okay, this is where the table is actually panning out where it needs to be. Like, Crystal Palace are in, what, fourth or fifth right now?
Six. And Leicester,
they're not going to be up there for much longer.
But
Leicester could finish third. Leicester could finish third.
My point about the spot in the table is whether you're 9 games in or 1 game in, I'd rather be in third 9 games in than 12th 9 games in.
Yeah,
in 6th 9 games in than 14th 9 games in. So that's why I think I'm still mad. I'd rather be third. And then on top of that, if you beat these dumb teams, right, that Palace game, or you at least show up against Everton, or you take out Villa, or Brighton, then you can sacrifice losing against Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool. But now we got to show up and get big results because we let our guard down against poor teams. Now we're relying on, so we have Sheffield, but then when we play Spurs and Arsenal, those games are twice as important now. I'd rather have the cushion and then, oh, we lost to Chelsea, or we got to play Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool in back-to-back weeks or something like that. Well, we can afford to drop 9 points because we took care of business against other teams.
Yeah, and Sheffield United is going to be their cup final. I've been saying it all year. This game is going to be an absolute brutal game for us, and I think if they don't show up for that game, we could be in for a real nasty day as well. So I think we're showing now that we will be a middle of the table team, and it's going to be a bang average season, and they haven't given me much room for optimism.
Didn't Sheffield go in and tie? Yeah, they went in and drew Chelsea. Yeah. So,
they did, yes.
Yeah, they went on the road and drew Chelsea. So they've gotten results. I'm looking at their results now. They beat Everton, even though they were struggling. They only lost to Liverpool 1-0. They took Leicester tough 2-1. Let's see any other interesting result. I mean, they're where they're at in the table, they haven't lost a game by more than 2 goals this season.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a really tough game. So, do we have anything to add to the Everton game? Did anything happen that we should talk about?
Or no.
Should we just move on?
Yeah, I have nothing else with the Everton game. I'm done with that.
Yeah, I mean it was, like I said, it's the most infuriating performance I've seen in quite some time. Last season, we had 3 or 4 of them that were just as bad. But this season, I thought we were past that. I really did. And that game was a massive step back for me. And it took us out of the talk about being the best of the rest, in my opinion, until something changes.
So I have up our Q&A here because I have 15 minutes left on my parking meter before I have to go back to work. So let's try to answer some of these questions or see if we haven't touched any of them. Let's see. Podcasting tonight. Reply with some questions or hot takes we can discuss. I put that out on Sunday. We were meant to do this on Sunday night, but since the Union game went to extra time, we are doing this podcast Monday midday over lunchtime. So our first question here is from Tony Hatcher. For a team seemingly stacked with offensive weapons, we don't generate scoring chances. Can't imagine how frustrated Allaire is with the lack of service. The rest of the big names don't seem to care. This system isn't working. What formation change would you like to see? So my question to you, Brawley, is do you want to see a formation change, or do you think we have the formation right and players need to step up, or both?
Yeah, the formation's fine. The 4-2-3-1 we've been playing is fine with me. I think that suits Allaire. But the creative players have to start coming to life. So your Lanzinis, your Fornals, your Andersons, those guys need to start playing better than what they are, and Pellegrini has to start getting these guys up for these games. So the change that I would like to see is I would love to see Antonio back, but that's not going to be for a while. So the change that I would like to see is Yarmolenko needs to start, Fornals is a bench player, and just take it to these guys. Take it to these lower teams, and we got to start doing it rather than talking about doing it.
All right, so next on our list here is from Woss, and that's at Josh Bathtub, and I'm going to pair that with Mr. Stardust, at Mr. Stardust 1969, so thank both of y'all for your questions. Along the lines, again, with formation, but it also talks about the isolation with with Allaire up top. Do you think he's isolated, or do you think we just need to adjust our mentality, I guess, or how we're utilizing him?
Well, you have to start beating your men. I mean, if you're playing this formation, you have two wide players, and you have to start winning outside and getting crosses in, and that's how you're going to score with them. Yeah, he's isolated, but your creative players are isolating him by not getting him the ball, and he's up there on his own, and he's having to do all of the hard work and holding it up. So, I mean, sure, you go 4-4-2, but is a Yeti done enough for you to think that he can start? I mean, he had an okay chance against Everton, but I don't think he's proven enough to me to want to start him. So you're pretty much stuck. Your other option is bringing either Snodgrass or Wilshere into the lineup. Are they good enough? Because you're not bringing Sanchez in, and you're not gonna bring Zabaleta in unless you have to. So those are your options. That's how you're gonna change it. We don't have any attacking options other than a Yeti. So the formation has to stay the same to get the best players on the field, in my opinion.
I like what you said about the isolation. You can play one striker up top and not be isolated. You just got to get him. You got to get him service and get him involved. You know, if Anderson and Yarmolenko are not whipping in crosses, or they don't even have to whip in crosses. They can cut back in on that inside foot because Yarmolenko's left-footed and plays on the right, so he cuts back in on the left. And same with Anderson, he's right-footed and plays on the left, so he cuts back into the right. If they could play the ball to him on the ground or utilize Lanzini to move the ball around. But since none of them are connecting passes and are very discombobulated, then he is going to be isolated. I barely saw us whip any crosses in, it felt like. And they weren't accurate if they were. And then the other one was they weren't playing it on the ground because they couldn't connect a pass. So it was a very, very poor showing. So back to the question is, do we need to change formation? No, I actually like the 4-2-3-1. I just think that we need to get him involved in the proper places. And that takes it back to Hernandez. Blast on the pass there. We didn't play to his style. He would have been fine up top by himself. We just didn't get the ball to him on the floor and utilize him that way. He was a poacher. Put it across the six, get in good positions, but we couldn't do that either.
Yeah, and Mr. Stardust also said, should Anderson be dropped? And my answer to that is hell fucking no, he should not be dropped. I mean, like, the best player on the pitch. The best player on the pitch. I shouldn't say, I was going to say, I don't care if he looks disinterested, because I do care if he looks disinterested. But his bad games, he has the potential, like his bad game is usually getting an assist. He usually gets an assist, and that's a terrible game for him. He has those games where he just doesn't show up, but he's got that one moment of magic, and he either scores from it or he creates something of it. And that's why you have to keep him out there. So no, he should not be dropped, and that's just simple as. I think we could agree on that and move on, unless you have something to add.
No, absolutely. So the next question here is from Zaik. That's from Zaik B99. Is it just me, or do we need to get Antonio back as soon as possible? I agree. I think Antonio would be a different option to come off the bench. I really like his pace and his authority, his power, his strength, what he adds to the game. However, I don't think that he beats out Yarmolenko. I think the only reason Yarmolenko was sat is because of the Ukraine games and just being off an injury, coming off that devastating injury and not wanting to rush him back. But I think Antonio is important to this team for either A, starting in those positions when Yarmolenko is out instead of Fornals on the outside, or B, coming off the bench and being an impact player.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. We need Antonio back ASAP for either one of those scenarios, whether it's coming off the bench. I mean, at least he provides something coming off the bench, where I feel like Wilshere doesn't really provide anything right now. Snodgrass, not a whole lot. Ayeti, not a whole lot. I mean, at least he can be a difference maker when he comes on the pitch. At the bare minimum, getting him back to come off the bench is a huge plus for us. So I think we're missing him tremendously right now.
So two more questions real quick here because we're running out of time. The first one is from Billy Bond's Claret and Blue Army, and that is SmackIt0 on Twitter. Why is there such a lack of commitment from the players? Do you have any like wild guesses, or do you think it's just maybe it's the manager? Like, what do you think it stems from? In a quick analysis,
I think some of these guys are full of themselves, and they think they're owed something, and they think that they don't need to show up for these games. They can show up with these poor performances and win games like the Oxford game, the Wimbledon game. I mean, these players feel like it on paper, we're better than these teams. Sure. So we can just go out there and beat them. Whereas they just take it for granted. And it's not the case. They have to show up if they want to win games, and they're just not doing it right now. I think modern day football can do that to teams like us, where, you know, you have players earning $100,000 a week, so they feel like, all right, well, I mean, I don't really care if I win or lose. I'm not born or bred into this club. Mark Noble's the only one that's a diehard fan of this club, so he's the only one that gets it. All these other guys don't really get it, and they don't care. So, I mean, I think it stems from just a poor culture in the dressing room, and it has to start with Noble and Pellegrini have got to start getting these guys on the same page for every single game and show up and give it your all every time. Leave it all out there on the pitch. Just leave it out there, and you'll be loved no matter what, win or lose.
Absolutely. You got to turn up and play every single game. I mean, look at this weekend. Mallorca just beat Real Madrid 1-0 this weekend. They were in the third division like 3 years ago. So anybody can beat anyone in any league. That's why you got to get yourself up for the game and play. Last one, we kind of already touched on, but just there was an interesting thing on Twitter. So this one's from Wobbly Knee. I don't want to read the whole thing out, talking about Lanzini. So, and then our buddy Scott had an interesting opinion on Lanzini. Would you sell Lanzini? That's my question then for you. Would you sell Lanzini?
I think I said at the beginning of the season that I would have sold him. Yeah. If the right offer comes in, like 15 to 20 million, yeah, I would sell him in a heartbeat. Because I don't think he's done enough. And yeah, the injury sucks. And I think it's so, and I don't want to criticize a player for coming back from an injury because they said it was going to be career threatening. And I'm so glad that he's back and he's healthy and he can run around and do things. But I don't think he's good enough on a consistent enough basis. And there's still time to change that this season. But if someone comes calling for 20 million or right around that number, I would get rid of him and bring in someone else, probably a forward, a center forward, because we're flooded in the midfield right now with players.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd surprisingly, I don't want to say I agree because I really like Lanzini. I like having him in the side, but he needs to step up. I think he needs help. As I said earlier in the podcast, I don't think he's the guy. I don't think he has the capabilities to be the guy. I think he has to be the capabilities to be the guy plus one, like on the side, the side piece or the Robin to Batman. But I think he needs a Batman. I think he needs a leader. He needs somebody to take the reins, and he's the guy who does the dirty work when he finally gets some space. So no, I'm not ready to sell him, but I think he does need some help.
Let's get a Sheffield United scoreline prediction. What do you think the score is going to be? Sheffield United at home next week, 9 a.m. kickoff.
2-2 draw.
On Saturday.
2-2 draw.
I am... Ooh, God.
Haven't been up for it all season against any of these teams. Sheffield's going to be ready to beat us bad. Their fans are going to be up for it. It's going to be ruckus. I don't see us getting a result this weekend. I hope we smash them. If the way we played, no.
I was going to say I don't want to predict a loss, but I'm going to say we lose 2-1. West Ham have not shown me enough this season to think that we can win this game. And I think Sheffield United will be well up for it. I know their fans are going to be up for it.
Yep.
So I think this got a trapdoor game written all over. So 2-1 Sheffield United is my prediction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Hit us with that good
stuff.
So
on Twitter, you can find us at, ooh, I keep wanting to say the old pod name. It's at West Ham Way US Pod. If you want to shoot us an email, we do have a new email address. So you can send our emails to the West Ham Way USA podcast at gmail.com. We had the old email, but now we got the new one. So, and if you could go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and rating, and please subscribe to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. We do have a Facebook if you want to find us on Facebook. We haven't used it much yet, but the Facebook is the West Ham Way USA podcast. So signing off from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, he's been Tony Clark. I have been Brawley Darbin in St. Louis. Hopefully we're coming up. Hopefully I'm wrong, and next week we beat Sheffield United. I'm not very confident, as you can tell from the sound of my voice, and we will talk to you guys next week. Sorry for the gap in between pods, too, by the way, guys. Our schedules have been busy, and we will try to be more regular from here on out. But thanks for sticking with us, and we will see you guys next week. Irons.
Irons.